Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 296 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. That's 296.
Hey,
it's Drew Papsky. That was Doyle, and that was Jeff, I think. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Let's get this show on the road. We are coming at you live. Not really. We're actually early again. We're on vacation. Leave us alone. It's August. And this is a very special show because we have the one, the only, making his way to the microphone for the first time in probably a few years. Hey, Joe. How you doing, man? Joe the Rat. Hey. The Rat's Nest has invaded the podcast space tonight. Joe the Rat's here. What's up, buddy? It's been a while.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Good. Doing well. We actually got to see you. I got to see you recently. Not we. We were all supposed to hang out recently, or most of us. But it was good to see you, man. And you're back on the show to, you know, be a rat and get more intel to other Flyers podcasts. You know, the things you've been doing for years. I'm just kidding. Joe's our number one staff writer. Hasn't written an article in about 6 years. He's been on the podcast for five.
Absolute loyalty.
Nothing like keeping it real, but yeah, man.
I'm a company man. Listen, your following has grown exponentially since I've been giving out all the information on the back end.
Yeah,
just so making... I'm doing my job.
We caught Drew saying unclean things off the mic, and this is more tonight. This will be you and the story with the hot mic got me caught. But yeah, Joe's coming on the show. We're doing this a little early this week, so once again, you know, we're keeping it moving with the August trips for us. If you're listening to this right now, Jeff and I are pillaging bachelorette parties in Nashville. We're coming back, or we're all in prison. Figure it out. Also, surprise, I didn't have heat stroke, so good. I know some of you guys reached out and made sure.
You didn't have a heat stroke yet.
Well, yeah, I'm going down south now, which will make it even worse. So Mexico didn't kill me. Jimmy Buffett didn't kill me. A Fish concert for 3 nights didn't kill me, but guess what? Might. Nashville.
Jimmy Buffett was like the perfect scenario for you to to take on the elements again.
98 degrees, not Nick Lachey. It was just very like, hey Drew, are you sure you've improved your habits and improved your ability to drink water before and also hydrate?
Hey Drew, are you prepared for the anxiety attack you're about to have during the day?
Yeah, that's why I just shotgun Bush Light the whole time and just kept it moving, and then there was no way I was like, if I just keep drinking, I'll just get alcohol poisoning. I won't actually have a heat stroke, right? That makes sense.
It
would have been way cooler.
Summer. If you survive the summer, you have to get a sponsorship with Revitalite.
Yeah, or Liquid IV. That's my new shit.
There you go.
Liquid IV is like, I talked about it so much to my cousin. Like, dude, are you like have stock in this? I'm like, no, but I should. Because one heat stroke proved fool me once. Something, something. George W. Bush meme, Taliban. Anyway, keeping it comical and topical here. Joe, have you on the show this week to get your thoughts, because I'm sure you have some very interesting thoughts on what the Flyers did this offseason, number one, because the last time I saw you, we were with the great guys over the Edge of Philly Sports Crew, the Edge of Philly Sports Network, on that Philly sports trip, and it was the day of the expansion draft. We found out the Flyers were going to lose Carson Twierenski to Seattle, and then we were waiting and talking about, well, is Voracek going to be gone? And you said something like, I told my girlfriend today, this might be the last day Jake Voracek's a Flyer. It's crazy because of the expansion draft. So I'm sure you're happy about that and everything else. But, of course, the top story as of this recording is Travis Sanheim is an arbitration, team filed arbitration. And, Joe, you've not been a big fan of Sanheim. You've had your gripes with his play, which is putting it lightly. Care to elaborate on that situation first?
Yeah, sure. So Travis Sanheim stinks. I don't like him.
You are a man of culture and taste.
I mean, in all seriousness, he's not. I think my biggest quote that I've ever had on this show was at a time when Travis Sanheim was kind of being looked at as a potential like breakthrough offensive defenseman for this franchise for years to come. And the quote that I had was, Travis Sanheim will not be an elite defenseman in the NHL, period, let alone for the Flyers. I stand by that to this day. And I think most people who thought he was going to be something crazy have backpedaled a bit and say that he's probably now, at best, on some teams, a top pair. I mean, he's still young. He's a big body, and he does have offensive prowess. But though, like, he has yet to show me that he could consistently put those three aspects of his game together ever. I really haven't seen it once. So the fact that he's going to arbitration, knowing the fact that, I guess, technically he did file prior to the Carter Hart contract being signed.
No, the team filed. But that proves that whatever they offered him was really far from what the agent and him were looking at. So, I mean, obviously, the Flyers only have $4 million in cap space to work with right now with this coming. So,
and the Flyers will also have this decided by the time that this is aired.
Exactly. But, you know, whatever, dude. We got to do what we got to do, all right? It's free.
Long story short, I think that the only way that he can rationalize being given what he's getting is the standard fact that we had X amount after Chuck made all of these moves this offseason. Half of it had to go to Carter, or probably, well, more than half had to go to Carter. And then the other is left for Sanhan. If he wants it, he can have it. If not, he can take it and shove it.
Oh, I like that. Hold on. Can you say it one more time, Joe? I'll cue you up. What should he do?
Sanheim can... Wait, you want me to say the whole quote again?
No, just, no, what, just is, what do you want? What do you want him to do?
Come on. Part.
I want Travis Sanheim to...
Got to say it.
Take it and shove it.
Yes, Joe. That's what I was looking for. Stop taking so long away from
the
show.
We'll edit that horrific dropout.
No, we are not. We're going to keep that as is.
Remove it from the entire show.
Jesus.
I'm out of practice, like Drew said. 3 years since I've last been on.
I thought.
Yeah, I think the deal was you were supposed to drop an article before you came back on.
Yeah. But then guess what happened? He bought me a beer. He bought me a beer at Yankee Stadium with all the drunk Phillies fans, and he wooed me.
I went to arbitration.
He went to arbitration with the podcast.
See, let's give it an episode.
Travis Sanheim, if you're listening somehow in the bug in my house, the best way to go to arbitration is find the craft brewery that wants to get rid of all their beer before the tailgate's over, before you go to Yankee Stadium, and convince them to give you crowlers to take on the bus. And then Joe goes, well, you know, the Miller Lite will always not taste as good, warm or cold, but this has to be drank cold. And I'm like, you're right, Joe. We should drink this 40 ounces of craft hazy IPA before we get to New York. And needless to say, all the daddies were drunk by the time we even got there. That was such a good time. I can't plug them enough. PhillySportsTrips.com. They were awesome. Great ownership. Took care of us the whole way. And they gave a great deal to us guys at the edge of Philly Sports Network to go. So I can't, Joe, I had so much fun. It sucks that Doyle couldn't go that day, or Jeff couldn't go. But we had a fantastic time. And they're always planning trips for all four of the Philly sports teams. So check them out this season. As things open back up, and you know, I think
our friends Riley Cote and Derek Settlemyer are trying to do one, I think, with them going to Nashville.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
If you meet a girl down there at the bachelor party, make sure to save her number. So when we go on the next trip, you can hit her up.
I'm saving myself for marriage, Joe.
And make sure she also has a child.
Yeah,
because that is your wheelhouse.
You have to check all the boxes.
Listen, I don't kiss and tell, at least when the mics are on, okay? Jeez.
Some say it's a curse you look like a stepdad, but you just lean into it.
Listen, all the hippie chicks at Fish liked it this weekend, okay? So they were digging my vibe. It's like, are you a cop? I'm like, no, I'm a stepdad. Like, oh, my God.
You a cop?
You know, I go with the flow, the functional flow.
I mean, yeah, I guess you're like a bald guy with a beard. You look kind of out of place.
I was wearing a plain black cap, too. It didn't really probably help. It's like, look, this guy's either security, a cop, or...
How Bill Burr of you.
Yeah, well, you know, gotta keep it nice. Gotta keep the sun off the dome. Gotta keep it nice.
Hello, fellow Fish fans. Do you have drugs to partake in?
Have any of those, what do you call them, those balloons you guys
Can you
see
point
there?
Me to the direction of Shakedown Street?
They were like, what? Would you read that online in a forum, you noob? Dude, seriously, such a fun weekend. I can't talk about that, though, because no one cares about that. Although it is summer series, so I'm going to go a little bit off script because there is none. I will say, though, about that Philly-Yankees trip, nothing I think was better than getting all those Yankees fans riled up. And my favorite part was Joe was actually he wasn't going to fight them, but he wanted to at the end because they were all cursing us out as we were leaving. And he's like, fuck you, just like saying stuff. And I'm like, Joe, relax, dude. Just let him have it. It's all right. Like, just because Joe was like getting all emotional. He's like, oh, I hate it. And I was like, Joe, it's going to be fine.
I was on the verge of tears.
I don't know. If, yeah, I don't know if you're gonna cry or you just wanted to punch someone. But I was like, it's all right, bud. Just let's get back on that. We'll get back on the bus. There's beer. Hey Joe, there's beer on the bus. We'll
Uncle Pap, she calming you down.
Yeah, they have crackers and Oreos and beer on the bus. Still, we can drink and eat all that, and that's what we did. Although some people were cursing me out on the way back, but some people gave me like a handshake or high fives. Like, yo, you guys made it fun, or whatever. I'm like, of course, that's what it's all about. It's about reminding you why you suck, and then when we lose, it's like, all right, whatever. Maybe we suck. But the Phillies are looking good right now, at least. Much better since that Yankees game. And them chanting Johnny Sins at me is something I will never forget. And making fun of all the fans with glasses was always so fun because, you know, what's better than being sophomoric? Nothing.
One of the best parts about that trip was we spent a good, what, three and a half hours in the Citizens Bank Park, well, the Jetro parking lot tailgating. Just getting absolutely blitzed at 12 o'clock on a Wednesday. Head up on a 2.5-hour, 3-hour drive up to New York City, drinking the entire time through. They bring the whole cooler on with everything, and all the dads, including us, were drinking. And so everybody's pretty much blitzed by the time we get up to the parking lot. You can't tailgate up at Yankee Stadium, really, and I don't think for COVID purposes they even would have allowed it anyway. So we pretty much aim to get right up there for the game. And the minute that we stop and this everybody stands up and starts to file out, we had this one guy, I swear to God, I don't know how old he was, but he just had the loudest comment say, wait, are we tailgating or are we going in? And it was the funniest comment. It doesn't sound as funny right now. It was hilarious.
No, because he was 100% serious. It was just some like drunk older guy like, wait, are we tailgating or are we going in? And you and me were just lost it. I was like, did he really just fucking ask that? We just tailgated in Philly for 3 hours. We're getting it. It's first pitches in like 20 minutes. We have to go through security. What do you... Dude,
it's
I
like
forgot
the
about that.
The tailgate at Jetro was his breakfast, and he was waiting for lunch.
He was like, what about second
dinner?
Breakfast?
Yeah. It's just it's a guy who didn't want to go home to his family. He's like, let's keep this party going. I'll stay in New York tonight.
That was such a fun time. And then I was just like, I don't know if I can drink anymore. And you guys convinced me to buy a drink as soon as we walked in. And then here I am today, survived. I don't know how. And it was great. They played the 08 World Series DVD on the way up there. So I was getting kind of pumped. I'm like, oh, I remember we used to, like, you know, be somebody in this, the NL East. But that was fun. And I also want to give a quick shout out to the kids that were in front of us. Those kids were like 13 years old, maybe 14. We got on TV and like the kid like sent me the video because his friend sent it to him. And I was like, yo, you kids, if you keep doing what you're doing, you guys are going to be epic shit talkers one day. They had a lot of potential. They were great young Philly fans. Yeah. Then the kid's name was Zach. Like, I was like, dude, you guys need to keep up what you're doing. Their dad was just laughing and shaking his head at them as they were saying some awful shit to the left fielder. And I was like, these kids, someone get these kids a girlfriend or at least a reach around. They deserve it. They were awesome. But anyway, enough about our trip. I had to talk about it. It was just Joe was here. I had to talk about it. But Joe, besides the Flyers possibly not signing Sanheim, what's your favorite move? I'm just kidding. What's your favorite move the Flyers made this offseason as far as all the things that they've done?
I mean, I don't know. Where do I start? I have a lot of favorite moves. I think if I wanted to take something that's maybe not as popular as the rest, I would say Ristolainen. And that's mainly because I believe in him compared to everyone else on Twitter absolutely hating him. So I'll say Ristolainen, even though I like pretty much every move. Martin Jones was a little bit of a head scratcher to me, but everything else made sense. Everything else fits. And yeah, so I'll go with Ristolainen. I think he had a terrible situation in Buffalo. He absolutely bullied us every game last year. I could pull up multiple tweets on my own feed, let alone everybody else who's talking shit about him, this off season where they all said that he would be a perfect match for the Flyers. Like, oh, I wish I had him on my squad. He's still fairly young for his position as well. I think he's only like 26. So
yeah,
he's pretty young and could absolutely still have time to develop. And he'll be given a lesser role here too around some even bigger like veteran leadership with Ellis and Braun on the back end. Keith Yandle. So I think that like this situation kind of goes past what the analytics people are talking about him. And he should be given every opportunity in the world this year to prove what he's got to be re-signed. And then if he ultimately doesn't, then I mean, like what's the use of crying over spilled milk for a rental? I mean, the first round pick, in my opinion, was a reach to begin with, not only because of the spot we were at, but the draft this year in particular. And I just don't value NHL draft picks outside of like the top five, hardly ever. I think it's pretty much a dart board. So, it doesn't really bother me that much. I thought it was the right move. And just because we didn't get Seth Jones and Dougie Hamilton doesn't mean that like Ristolainen can't be given a shot to succeed here.
Yeah, you made we talked about some of that stuff last week with Shawnee Hill, and also when it happened, just us talking to the guys. If he doesn't resign, it's going to suck. But we had to see Chuck Fletcher had to make a move. He couldn't just sit there on his hands. And we all agreed the draft pick needed to go. They needed to do something with it. I mean, I'm not saying give it away for pennies, but they needed to do something. And he knows. I mean, he was in a rough situation in Buffalo. He's going to have a much better supporting cast as a full team, but also like you mentioned. He has some veterans, with the addition of Ellis and Yandel especially, he has a much – even if he was put it with the defensive group the Flyers had last year, I still think he would have a better supporting cast in the back end than he did in Buffalo by the time he finished the season last year. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But Ristolainen's your favorite. Interesting. But a lot of people did say – even Jim Jackson and the Flyers broadcast crew, they did say multiple times – sorry, I'll do it to myself –
you're a stuttering Stanley.
There you go, Jeff. See, I don't just bully you. I bully myself. No swallowing 9 mils yet, though. So they did say multiple times in the broadcast crew that, like, oh, this would be a guy the Flyers, you know, the Flyers could maybe target in a trade. They did say that even as early as, I want to say, February of last year, like early in the season or March when we first started playing Buffalo a couple games in a row. So, yeah. But
yeah. The Flyers, like, in general, I think the two aspects that really favored them this offseason and the moves that Chuck did were leadership, like veteran leadership particularly, and physicality. They increased those tenfold than what they've had on this team for a good number of years. I mean, like, I can't tell you the last, like, real true physical defenseman that we've had. I mean, you can look at Morin, but he gets on the ice and ragdolls somebody. He's put in the penalty box.
I know one person who's pretty physical.
Robert Hägg.
Hägg. Your answer was probably Radko Gudas, even though he walked a fine line. And the last truly dominant defenseman was Chris Pronger, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, so Gudas is probably the most comparable example at the moment to what Risto can bring to the team. But that was still, what, 2 or 3 years ago at this point? And
chopping a guy in the neck?
You can tell that, like, the Flyers are just – they're weak. And it's because we put so much kind of, like, responsibility and faith in this young crowd to get it done, and they weren't all ready. When you put everything in the young crowd's basket, they might not necessarily have what it takes to go up against the veterans. So – bringing some of those guys in, not only to be on the ice, but the locker room, and set some accountability and have that presence, I think is going to be huge.
They didn't add any lazy players.
I was about to say, one of the things, too, is just like how the Flyers got, on paper, as of right now, they've gotten tougher to play against. Like, there were so many times last year where you could just see that they just looked so soft in games.
Yeah. After Ristolainen signed his contract, in the interview that followed that signing, somebody asked, basically, as an outside party, what were the Flyers like to play against? And his response was, now, take granted, this is from Rasmus Ristolainen in Buffalo, teams last in the league by a lot. They were very bad. He was like, nobody on the Flyers scared us. Like, they weren't a tough team to play against. So, you know, in that regard, nobody was really worried. and like, paraphrasing his response, but like, the Flyers did not strike fear into anybody when they were like, oh no, we're gonna play the Flyers tonight. I guess Travis Konecny will just skate around me, and then Nolan Patrick will avoid contact.
Had Nolan Patrick will glide by the boards the whole game.
And Myers will hold off on contact because he still had a rib boo-boo from the first week of the season. And we know their power play isn't scary anymore because all they do is cross-ice pass. We could spend a whole episode doing this, but that does make sense. And that also, I think, is why the Nate Thompson re-addition does help with that as well. Give you someone that can, grind it out and slug it out. And like one of those, I'm imagining a Boston Bruins style, slug it out. We need to put in a full 60-minute effort just to get 2 points or maybe even 1 point. You're going to need guys like that are willing to go in the trenches. I know it's all those, platitudes, you could say, and there's
shitty cliches.
Yeah, but there is a reason why people say them. The broadcasters do say things like, oh my God, we get it. Like, this is a team I'd hate to see in the playoffs. They're a really hard seventh seed,
Yeah, but, just like every interview in between periods with the players, you got to get pucks deep.
Got to get pucks deep, and really gotta control our own blue line, get pucks out of our own net, get out of our own zone real quick and good breakout. But just, playing hockey, a good hockey play,
playing the right way.
Yeah, it's all the same shit, but if you've been around the sport long enough, you know what that means, and you know when they're not doing it. So I think the Nate Thompson addition does help that as well with Ristolainen, and also, Ellis is pretty physical. He's not a huge guy, but he could be pretty physical at times. He's not going to shy away from contact because he's been around the league long enough, as long as he stays healthy. And Cam Atkinson, he can get down and dirty a little bit too and shoot. And help provide some more veteran leadership. So I am waxing poetic about these moves, but I've said it for weeks now. I like them. I like this team.
Still highly debating getting a Keith Yandle jersey just because.
Yeah, well he's old enough to be your dad now, right? So he can be right up there with you. But the fact that they're signed for the discounts, thank you, Kevin Hayes.
Yeah.
All those Kevin Hayes dollars actually paid dividends again in the discount market. It's like you invested in a little inside trading just to get the good stocks when they fell.
Well, I mean, yeah, Kevin Hayes, when he was healthy, was not bad. Last season, he was dealing with the same hip injury Drew was dealing with.
Oh, no, I like Kevin Hayes. I always have.
Yeah, so everybody thought that he wasn't worth his contract last year, but he was also injured and then coming off an injury and not able to train and rehab the right way with everything so compacted. So it's just another one of those things where you can't blame COVID, but you can blame COVID.
I think that he's going to be, he has to be primed to be kind of number one on, I guess maybe sided with Carter Hart, but the two of them to be bounce back season, full blown. Especially on the fact that outside of him getting healthier, if you do have that kind of pull on players to bring into your locker room, and not only with the players themselves, but even potentially management saying, "Yeah, let's go get this guy," then it better work out. Like if you're gonna have that kind of relationship with people on your team, then you got to prove why he's worth being here, that particular player. So. I expect Kevin Hayes to kind of be not necessarily on the hot seat. He's got quite a long contract, but I definitely think he's due to perform way, way better than he did last year alongside Carter Hart.
Yeah, Joe, I think you're right, and I think Kevin Hayes will, and I also think everybody on the team is going to. After last year, they were embarrassed. They lost to Buffalo so many times towards the end. It's like they're still so far below you in the standings, but if you weren't looking at standings, you have no idea. You'd think you would switch where we are in the standings last year. Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
What's funny is the Flyers had more wins than the Canadiens last year.
Yeah, well, we were also in a tough division, but yeah. It just the wheels fell off at the wrong time. We were playing a really good division because of the COVID restructuring. And I will say this. I didn't take it as lip service with the way some of the veterans talked about how the season went. And I could tell that they were pissed. And the amount of moves the management makes changes the whole flow. Training camp's going to be different. It's the same coach. The Flyers are pretty much the same staff there. They added a new equipment manager who was from Minnesota. I wonder where that came from just recently this week. Chuck. And they've changed enough of the major veteran pieces in the locker room that there's going to be a different feel. And the guys that are returning are especially guys like Kutz and Giroux. They've been here. They're the longest tenured guys now. They've been here long enough to know, they need to do something. And also you have guys like Provorov who are entering now into, multiple seasons where the Flyers haven't been, going far in the playoffs or as far as we want consistently. and he's going to step up. Scott Lawton, guys on the team like that, and then you have a bunch of young guys supporting them. I think it's going to be a much different season, and I don't know. I got to be optimistic because what's the point of bitching? It's the middle of August. I can't really bitch yet. There's really – I like the moves, and I have to believe there's going to be things. Uh-oh, Doyle, you have gripes?
No. I was going to – I had a question for Joe. So we know that the Flyers are going to be up against the cap, and there's still some players out there who are looking for contracts. Now, if you're the Flyers and you can give out a PTO or sign another person to a veteran deal who you think could help the team, who would you sign?
I don't think I would take anybody at this exact moment, only because the only piece that I really would like to the most valuable piece, I think, is 3C right now, and I would prefer to give that spot to Morgan Frost if he can achieve it. Like, I don't want to roadblock him. That's why I loved the Nate Thompson signing, because we know that we can get Lawton to be serviceable at that spot until Morgan is ready, and hopefully that's at some point this season, and then he can just shift Lawton to a wing. So I don't think there's necessarily any, like, urgency to grab anyone in particular. Not to mention the fact there's not really anybody that I'm all too thrilled about left on the market. Did you have someone in mind?
Yeah, I think everybody knows who I want.
Patrice Bergeron.
I believe he is still under contract.
Oh, darn.
Was it the person who just signed with the Panthers?
Yeah.
Yeah, so or Joe Thornton.
There's really only two. It was either Joe Thornton or
Bozak?
Eric Staal.
Oh. Because you're always on Bozak, but he's signed. You want the Eric Staal reclamation project?
Reclamation project? That guy just performs wherever he goes.
I'm sorry, he's a little old. But yeah, for a 3C or a 4C, yeah, maybe. I don't know, man. I think the Flyers actually might behoove them. Great word. You're welcome. You get an education on this podcast, too. What is that?
Move your phone.
Is that what it is? Is that what it was the whole time?
What
is this? 1998? Is that what that was?
I swear to God, every time you would get a notification, that would happen.
Yeah. It's like when you knew your text message was coming in because you could hear the beeps in the speaker.
Oh, dude, I used to get like radio signals coming through my one old shitty Guitar Center amp when I was younger. And be like, I used to have it. Bringing you here on a classic rock radio. And I was like, what is that? And I was like, it's my amp. My track phone and my amp are like communicating with the aliens. Sorry guys. No one texts me. It's all an illusion. It's my Christian Mingle account blowing up. What was I saying? Oh, it would behoove the Flyers, educational podcast and dick jokes, to maybe give a tryout contract to maybe a veteran that's looking like maybe to get their, just to maybe provide a little bit of competition in camp. I think that also might help. You can always sign Chris Stewart again. Everyone loved him. I'm just kidding. But
Stewart.
Yeah, someone to
Stewart.
Drop the gloves.
Yeah,
they play in what, like, 15
I mean, someone
games.
That actually can, like, play center, though, too, and not be, although he was a good locker room guy, and guess what? The Flyers were a win away from going to the conference final with him on the roster, so maybe he was the missing piece they, really needed last season. I'm kidding. But maybe something like that in camp to help out. Like the time the Flyers had Bill Guerin come in, I think, for a tryout contract to let him go. Just add a little camp competition and see what happens.
Or Brian Berard.
Jesus.
Let's bring back Michael Delzato to teach everyone how to starfish on a 2-on-1.
Yeah, so they can get a better playlist in the locker room.
Or I thought you were going to say to maybe show all the young guys how to go after the chocolate starfish. Sorry, with the Fred Durst and Blimp Biscuit revival, I had to bring it up. Keep on rolling,
I know that
baby.
That was a joke.
Have you seen what he looks like now?
Yeah, dude, he's
out of control.
Dude, I watched his set at watched the clip of Nookie from Lollapalooza they just did, and I thought it was like an old clip. They superimposed it a deep fake with his new look. But no, he's really going into this look. And
he looks like Dr. Jacoby.
Dude,
he got older from Twin Peaks.
Dig yourself out of the shit.
Yeah, exactly. Dude, just with the red sunglasses and not red and blue.
Dude, I think I think he is going to, in a quick Limp Bizkit side piece right now, I think what he's doing right now is this big troll job to...
Limp Bizkit side piece that should have never been said on any podcast.
Name
of
my 90s girlfriend. My Limp Bizkit side piece. I'm going to take her to Limp Bizkit shows. Rearranged. I don't know. Let's go with song names. But I think what he's doing is probably genius, and it's going to lead to him selling this new album he's working, whatever he's doing.
Well, and, yeah, he memeified himself, for
yeah,
sure.
He, but he knows what he's doing. It's genius. He's like, I can't... Because he knows, like, that band only worked because of the time period. That band would never work today. So he's like, how can I market this? Because
yeah,
he was always
like,
a funny guy. He never took himself that seriously.
There's only been like one new metal band that has transcended years, and they completely abandoned new metal like 2 years after they released an album with that sound.
Who's that? Deftones?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Mudvayne. I'm like, eh, their first two albums were great. But
yeah, new metal lasted like 2 or 3 years, and then it was a joke.
Oh, yeah, but I always will dig Mudvayne. I used the word dig. That wasn't even on purpose. The one fan that of the five we have that likes that stuff is like, oh, my God, what a reference.
To circle back to Michael Delzato, he's not a
No,
vibe.
We're talking about new metal.
Why would you want to?
We're talking about new metal now.
He just signed a two-year deal with the Senators.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at his career stats. So he broke into the league in 2009. Since that time, he's played for the Rangers, the Predators, the Flyers, the Canucks, the Blues, the Ducks, the Blue Jackets, and now the Senators.
There you go.
So he's been on 8 different teams in, what's that, 11 years?
Well, I was born a rambling man.
Not
a
great
look. Was he on the Blues team for the championship?
No.
No, I think he was, but he wasn't starting. He was just like a backup.
Oh, so he got a ring.
Maybe played one game.
So he got a ring.
Oh, he was on the roster for that?
More rings than anyone on the Flyers.
Well, the Shem brothers.
In that regard.
The Shem brothers have won cups. Everyone brings that up. Everyone's
Luke
like,
Shen
see?
Has two cups now.
Should
Shen
never...
brothers have more cups than the Flyers franchise.
We should never have traded Luke Shen. That's the that's what everyone's going with now. It's like, okay.
Yeah, we
should have never fired Berube. Should have never traded Shen.
One player.
Yeah, the Flyers could use a player like Luke Shen right about now.
Yeah. Said no one ever.
Yeah, what? So
said...
he could play 3 minutes of ice time?
So he could take a really devastating body check in the neutral zone and lead to a 3-on-1 the other way. Wow, yeah. He really pledged like on the boards. No, 3-on-1 against Steve Mason. This is going to end good. Oh, but it didn't end well. What'd I tell you?
I still stand lightning. By. I can't believe that team was able to make the playoffs with that defensive roster.
It's because we started the podcast. And that's why. Because that was the first year we did this, right?
Yeah.
I think it was,
with Dave Haxtell's first season where they lucked into it.
Yep. It was
they
all,
made it on like the last day.
It was our good mojo.
Usual.
It was us trying to find out how to fill up 45 minutes without going off topic, and so far, so good. Wait, it's summer. We don't care about that anymore. But
well,
yeah,
so on topic, I was just listening to older episodes to put something together for an upcoming podcast episode. Stay tuned. But we talk about how Dave Haxtell's entire tenure was marred by the first season they made the playoffs, because then everyone expected so much out of him that everything else was just a constant disappointment.
Yeah, it's true. And to bring it back to that, that episode will be coming out next week or two while we take a week off. To commemorate, we turned 6 this month, which is cool. This is going to be our 7th season covering the team. So if you're still listening to this episode or listening and followed us, whether you're a newer fan or a longtime listener, we do appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll try to keep doing what we're doing. Even if we brought Joe the Rat on, we still love you guys. All right, so make sure you know. Just kidding, Joey. We love you. Sorry, just going to keep bringing back to that song so we can get copyright infringement and then get we have finally have a reason to quit the podcast. Oh, we got sued. Sorry, make up a whole fake story, go out like Seinfeld on top, baby. Anywho, so Joe, your thoughts on Voracek leaving? You did. I led the show with you saying how you thought maybe that might be the last day Voracek was a Flyer. Obviously, he didn't get picked up by Seattle that day, as we know, looking back on it. But Voracek's gone. What do you think his legacy? First of all, your thoughts on him and him moving. Like, I'm assuming you're happy with it. You said you're happy with the moves, but what do you think his legacy will be as a Flyer? Because although we've all been kind of, I think we're all in agreement that like he needed to go. He did provide a lot of excitement for this team over the years, but what do you think his legacy will be? Time's yours.
I don't really think that anybody's going to I mean, I definitely won't be looking back and being like, oh man, do you remember that play by Jake Voracek? Or, oh man, like what a contributor he was to this team. Even though if you pull up like some of the greatest Flyers of all time, like highest scorers, point totals, he'll probably be right up there with a lot of them. So on paper, he was a decent player for us, provided a lot of the offense. And I think at the end of the day, I had nothing wrong with his attitude. In fact, I actually really liked his attitude. He was very much brutally honest with not only the media, but the fans as well. And I always respect that in a player as much as I'll talk back to them. So I did respect him on that level. I never really hated the guy. He pissed me off in game a lot because I feel like he just didn't use his talent and his potential.
His size.
At all times. Yeah. He seemed lazy to me on the ice more than he seemed successful. That's unfortunate because in what his legacy will be to me is that we bought high, but we ultimately are selling low. I don't say low as a negative thing because we ultimately get his contract off the books. We get Cam Atkinson, who in my mind is essentially the same player, or at least what he'll ultimately be able to contribute will be the same on paper. And he's what, $3 million AAV less, but one extra year, I think. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that his potential here never really hit what it should have, and it was his own fault. I don't know if it's because he clearly had the attitude to be able to handle Philadelphia, but I don't know if he had the respect on his end to perform at all times. So. Yeah, I don't know. I'm disappointed with him. Like the guy, hope he succeeds in his future. And I'm sure he'll win a cup one day because that's just what happens to players like these who leave Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's really all my thoughts are on
one
him.
Counterpoint to that. One counterpoint to that is he was also, like Drew, one of those guys who never really had another team around. They expected Drew, Simmons, and Voracek to anchor the whole team with, like, guys like Braden Schenn thrown into the mix and Couturier. And Couturier wasn't even given that big of a role offensively until recent years. He is 10th all-time in Flyers points. Looked it up while you were talking. He actually is ahead of Rod Brind'Amour, Simone Gagné, Gary Dornhofer, Reggie Leach, Rick Tocchet. Obviously, he played more games than all those guys, although Dornhofer by a small amount, but, you know, the scoring now. He's right behind Mark Recchi, 23 points shy of Mark Recchi, and he's only about 40 points shy of John LeClair. Just to give you some perspective, he played 727 games, which is more than a lot of these guys that are right around him. But he was a minus 17 for his career as a Flyer. Simone Gagné was a plus 140, just to throw my boy some legendary status. Love Simone Gagné, always will. But Brind'Amour was even a minus 2. And Simmons was a where's he at? I just saw him down here. A minus 78. Just not that, once again, plus minus is a garbage stat to some people, but just to give you guys some perspective. So you're right, top 10. Maybe he will be in the Flyers Hall of Fame one day. I don't know. The one stand-up memory I have of Voracek, though, is I think his game one overtime winning goal versus the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I believe it was the 2012 playoff run, first round. That was the run where Claude Giroux finished it in game 6 by laying out Crosby and scoring the opening minute. The game 1, he scored the overtime goal, almost positive. That's the only thing I can really remember as far as big moments from him, but I know he had a lot. But once again, I just thought his time ran its course here. But I think you're right about a lot of things you said about him. But
yeah, I think like him and even potentially Giroux, if the Flyers don't somehow figure out how to get to the Stanley Cup and win...
they're going
to
Doyle.
Their legacy is kind of like, you know, a lot of people blame them for it, but also like their legacy has a lot of the Flyers management didn't shit or get off the pot, whether they were going to actually try and build a team or just try and draft. Because, I mean, you know, they didn't like tear down for a full rebuild to get any top talent at the beginning of a draft. They didn't trade up to get any like top players at the top of the draft. So they kind of just like stuck around and held on to all of their picks, but not, like, you know, making hockey trades to, whether it was like Braden Schenn or Wayne Simmonds, trade them at like the peak of their value for another player that can contribute to the roster immediately. So it's definitely a interesting way to look back at it.
Yeah, and that's the difference between Paul Holmgren and Ron Hextall, and that Holmgren traded Richards and Carter but got back, you know, the draft pick to get Kutz. So that was a draft pick. But then Voracek and Simmonds and
Schenn.
And Hextall traded away all these guys and got back draft picks, which then became your Joel Farabee, your Morgan Frost. And, like, yes, everyone's like, oh, man, Farabee had a bunch of goals this season, but, like, will he continue? They got Morgan Frost, and everyone's like, he's going to be great. And then he hurt his shoulder two games in. So, like, Holmgren got tangibles, but he also decimated the farm system. Hextall just stockpiled draft picks but was terrified to make the wrong mistake. And
then gave out terrible contracts to players.
Well, yeah, except for Sean Couturier. I think he gave out terrible contracts to some people.
Dale Weiss, but, Andrew McDonald.
Yeah. Okay, well, when you put it under a lens, I guess it looks bad. But Hextall
didn't Holmgren
also
give the contract to McDonald, or was that Hextall?
It was under Holmgren's tenure, but Hextall had been negotiating.
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to double check.
So Hextall was terrified to ever make a mistake, I guess, or take any risks. So, like, he just ended up going for safe, quote unquote, things, and, like, that will define his tenure in Philly. Like, he never made the team better. He just kind of kept them afloat while he hoped prospects panned out.
There was a lot of just the Flyers were a team in flux for a long time. You think back to 2010, the cup run, which we all know didn't end in a cup. And then 2011, the Flyers get swept by the Boston Bruins in the first round, and that's when the Carter and Richards trades come in. 2012, the Flyers are a little excited. They added this rookie, Sean Couturier, shut down Evgeny Malkin in that first series versus the Penguins. And then you have Jake Voracek stepping in. The Flyers have Wayne Simmonds, and they have Ilya Bryzgalov, and it's all this excitement. Like, this is what we did. We rebuilt the team, even though Pronger's not here, right? They're going to make another run. And then they ran into the
Pronger
Devils, right?
Didn't they have Pronger for half a season?
They had Pronger till like
November.
November,
December. So they were like, okay, now we're going into the season with our defined team captain, Chris Pronger, who's going to lead them on the ice. And then he just has a freak career-ending injury almost immediately, and everyone's just like, oh shit, we didn't plan for this.
And they ran into a Devils team that was playing their system perfectly and exploit the fact that Andre Mazaros and Sean O'Donnell just dump it to O'Donnell's end in the third pair and just get the puck and possess it and then rotate and score.
And then the year after that
was the lockout.
They waited too long to re-sign Jagr and Carl, and then they didn't get Parise and Suter, and then they tried to offer Sheet Shea Weber, and that didn't happen, and they were fucked going into the lockout.
And then there's a lockout, and then the Flyers don't make the playoffs that year, and then the following year after that, the Flyers, I think,
They signed the two worst free agents to sign that offseason, which were Vinny LeCavalier and Mark Streit.
And then we start the podcast.
They finished
the following year.
Third in the division, though, because they played the Rangers, I think.
That's when
they took it to game seven.
Jason Atkinson, I think, hit someone in the face with a high stick as he went down. Yeah. You know, that goes. Guys, we're rehashing this for a reason, though. Just remember, think about all the stuff that Claude Giroux and Jake
Hall
Forch
was your fourth line center.
He was good at penalty killing.
And then you go through the 14-15 seasons where you have, now all of a sudden, Ron Hextall becomes GM, Dave Hextall becomes head coach, we're going to restock the farm system,
blah,
blah. Ron
Hextall trades Scott Hartnell for RJ Umberger.
Yep, for cap reasons only.
Matt Reed is a shell of his former self. And both of them are playing on the line.
And you look at our defensive roster by that time period, you're like, how the hell are we keeping this thing afloat? And they make the playoffs Hextall's first year, and they alternate years after that up until this point where they had Craig Berube, and now they have Alain Vigneault, and you have Fletcher as your GM. So just think about all those things we just said. We just went through a lot. But I think just to bring this back around, we look at the legacy of, like you said, Doyle, like Giroux especially, but also Voracek, because now he's gone. As much as Voracek bothered me at times, it's like, how could I justify in everything I feel negatively about him and blame the team's success on him and his effort alone, because they were expecting him and Giroux to do everything. And even when they put Couturier in the mix, added some players, they still obviously weren't a complete team because last year showed it. Now, once again, it's
that 2015-16 the playoff series, like, they were legitimately a one-line team.
Yeah.
Like, the the one game that you just said Neuwirth kept them in, like, the ice was completely tilted into Washington's favor, like, all of game five.
Yeah, so that's just one of those things where I just want people to think about that. But, Joe, before we wrap up, do you have any lasting things you want to say about this team or going into this season? I don't know next time we'll have you on. Obviously, it will be again, but I don't know when that's going to be. So, as Andy Reid said, no one whose legacy was marred by inconsistency in management, and still, I think, is, you know, will be a positive outlook for the organization. Time's yours.
Yeah, so I think every year I go into it positively, no matter what happens in the offseason. They always do something, or they do nothing, and like I just get sucked in just for the sheer excitement of Flyers hockey being back. So, yeah, I mean, I'm biased in the sense that I'm always going to be positive going into the season and always think that they could have a chance, because in this league, you literally just need to get to the playoffs. That's it. That's all you have to do. Once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. So as long as you're set to run a 82-game season and get enough points that gets you into the postseason, then you have a shot. You at least have a shot. So I'm positive. I will say that I'm very, very happy compared to last offseason and seeing how, while none of us, because of the way they finished in the bubble, seeing like not really having that much of like a concern about them not doing anything, then we were still excited because of the way that they finished. Now realizing how them not doing anything caused so much failure this season and really just was a snowball effect for a lot of the young guys too. I mean, you got to say that these moves fit the bill for exactly what we needed. And I'm excited. I'm really excited. And I think that they will succeed. I do think the players that need bounce back seasons will have bounce back seasons. I think the increased physicality and veteran leadership will do nothing but positives for the young guys who may have struggled last year. And even players like Sanheim, who might come in with a little bit of a negative mindset on my front, I'm rooting for them. So go Flyers. And yeah, that's about all I got for you.
All right, Joe. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. Joe the Rat making his triumphant return and everything else. And guys, for those of you guys listening, thank you so much for joining us as you do every week. Clip show coming soon. If you want to skip over that one, go right ahead. But it'll maybe provide some context because we are basically a living, breathing oral history of Flyers since for the last 6 years.
One trick pony. I mean, oh, yes.
One trick ponies, too, yes. That being said. But thank you for dealing with our summer series and everything else. And, you know, stay classy, Philadelphia.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.